Welcome, Imelda Arcila, as she shares transformational teachings and interviews with game-changing guests on Tales of Ascension, Into the Light After Dark, exploring deeper levels of reality and spirituality with a more expanded bandwidth by illuminating those secret places yet untapped to create a grander paradigm.
Hello, everyone. My name is Imelda Arcila, and welcome to Tales of Ascension, Into the Light After Dark. And this is episode 2. And it is called Soul Evolution Through Powerful Eclipses. So this is a place where we explore deeper levels of creation, spirituality, mastery, and more. Because there's a greater bandwidth of light at this timeline, we're able to go to uncharted territories in hidden layers, crevices, and pockets of creation to really excavate those nuggets of gems and wisdoms. So with the discoveries, we can see a bigger picture which can reveal new truths. And as we integrate these new codes, it liberates from the past limits and constructs. So we have more possibilities in thriving. And part of the intention of this podcast is, because of all the distraction, busyness of the world, and information overload, this specific podcast transmission aims to slow time, give lots of expanded space to take in the wisdom, and really give you an experience beyond the ordinary info in intel gathering. So it's light encoded and activates the knowing part of you, that knowing part of your soul that's already intact, wise, and whole. So with that, I also want you to, before I bring in our guest today, is I want you to go ahead and just take in a deep breath with me, breathing in everything that you are, that higher elevated frequency of light and love, and releasing all the anxieties, any worries from the week, releasing that. And go ahead and take another deep breath in, breathing in that light, that freshness, that groundedness, and releasing the past. And one more time, let's go ahead and take in a deep breath and relax. And just go ahead and be in that beautiful space, okay? So today's guest is Sherita Starr, and she is an astrologer, numerologist, author, and speaker. And she has one mission as she sees patterns of energy and cycles through the three star secrets of astrology, numerology, and lexigrams. It's to help you align with your peace of mind in changing times. So coined as a psychic of the planets, Sherita distinctly sees how our names and birthdays hold our keys to success. A constant student of the planets above, she has celebrated messenger for our individual journeys down here. So her consultations and events guide souls to optimize the many choices of our free wills that we have to make in order to really attain success. The founder of Sherita's Star Secrets, Sherita also empowers souls to understand the benefits of our natural cycles of reflection through her one-of-a-kind Mastering Mercury retrograde workshops and teleseminars. She is featured weekly on Empower Radio with her Empower Scopes. Offering distinct timing is everything advice for personal empowerment. Her application, the astrology numerology wheel, is available on iTunes. Her breakthrough book, It's All in the Name, reveals a fantastic topic of lexigrams, engaging us to discover the wonders of how we can spell out the truth from our words, names, and titles. So you can learn more about her and everything that she does on her SheritaStar.com. And I'll give you that again at towards the end of our talk. So let's see if she's on the line. Sherita?
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, sweetheart. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you.
Good, good. I am feeling the effects and the pull of this powerful eclipse that we're in right now.
Yes, yes. And it's, you know, it's interesting, and I was, of course, listening to everything you were saying, and thank you so much for that lovely introduction as well. This is the third over the course of, you know, these last 2 years, this is now the third eclipse that we've had in Pisces. And that would be the zodiac sign that we're experiencing this in. Of course, this one being the solar one, we had one last March, on March 8th, was the first one that we experienced. And then we had a lunar one that was last September on the 16th. And so now this will complete I want to call it like a series, even though they're over a period of time, but it's a series of eclipses that are occurring in Pisces. And, you know, Pisces is the last sign in the zodiac. So it is the sign, I always say that the Pisces energy is like a grandparent. I always say a Pisces is like about being a grandparent of the zodiac, because the Pisces is the conclusive sign. So it's the sign that's wrapping everything up. It is the sign that most people understand, if you happen to be a Pisces. You're quite intuitive. There's a lot of wisdom that you contain, you know, and again, paralleling it to a grandparent, you've attained your wisdom by the time you are maybe become a grandparent in this lifetime. Mm-hmm. And so these eclipses occurring in a sign that is not only intuitive, but, you know, very, very sensitive. And Pisces is a sign and it's always about healing. You know, and really bringing things into a space where, you know, feelings are, you can't deny what you're feeling, or you could.
right, exactly.
It can also be a sign of deception and denial. So what I would, you know, say, you know, with these eclipses is that, you know, humanity is at a really at a point where we can no longer deny what we need to heal.
Yeah, but
a very strong theme with all of these eclipses, looking at them, you know, in connectivity to one another.
Yeah, so actually, as you say that, I think it's very important to really feel. I think that's what we're all missing. And so part of that.
And you're exactly right, because in this world today, I think people have forgotten how to do that because of the technology.
One
of the reasons. It's one of the reasons.
Yes. So part of that feeling is what we're really needing right now is really empathy and compassion. So this
Absolutely.
Is really a really important topic. But before we dive deep into it, can you just do a general overview of what eclipses are and how often they happen for the people that don't know exactly, you know, what eclipses are yet?
Well, what they are, eclipses are, will happen, and today, the February 26th, is a solar eclipse. So eclipses, and it's also a new moon. So the eclipses have to happen when it's a new moon, and the lunar eclipses are the opposite when it's a full moon. What we will notice in the pattern, how the astrology and really everything is always going to boil back down to mathematics, because everything in astrology is about math. And we're measuring, and we're going to talk too about the actual degree points of all of the, how the eclipses will fall at a degree point of any given sign. And with me, I tie the dots connect the dots, and tie the astrology back into the numerology, and it becomes a very rich picture of what we really are meant to be receiving from you know, the way that these things work. But a solar eclipse is always going to happen on a new moon, and the new moon is when the moon and the sun are together. And you can't see a new moon, and why? Because it's aligned in the zodiac sky with the sun, in whatever sign it's falling in. Of course, this one is Pisces. But we have a new moon every month. So you will not see the moon. And I think, you know, people, when you start to kind of get this explained to you a little bit, it makes a lot of sense, because don't we all see the moon all the time? We don't always see the moon all the time, but we notice that the moon changes very quickly. So what you'll notice in another day or two is right after sunset, there'll be that little sliver of a moon starts to, I call it a moonset, and then we get to see a moonset for a few days, and we move to the week, and then you start to notice the moon is getting more light, and of course the moon emits no light of its own. It's only ever reflecting light off the sun, and that's because of how far away it is in position. So when we see a half moon, then that's a week after a new moon. Or it's the week before a new moon. And then, you know, we have that moon starts to pick up all that light again, reflectively, and then we reach a full moon. Now, when it's a full moon, and we have, that's when you can have the possibility of a lunar eclipse. Solar eclipse is sun, lunar eclipse is moon, is when the moon has reached its full capacity of reflective light. And it's exactly positioned opposite of the sun, which is why you see it so full. And eclipses, when they happen, they always happen in pairs. So we had the one that happened on the last full moon, which was February 10th, and that was in the zodiac sign of Leo. So we've lost light, basically lost the reflective light over these last couple of weeks, and now the moon is back at that, you know, it's back in alignment with the sun, and it's this precise, at this point of this solar eclipse, it is 8 degrees of Pisces, and the eclipse on February 22nd February 10th was 22 degrees Leo. So the moon has moved from at full capacity, and at the last lunar eclipse, it has moved all the way around the zodiac back to 8 degrees Pisces from 22 degrees Leo. So if you understand that astrology is a 12-piece wheel, all working together in cooperation on some level, this is how any new and full moon is working month to month. Now, eclipses will come in pairs, and they come about twice a year. That's pretty much when you have them. So it's, and they're going to, what you also start to notice when you're watching the patterns of them, is that they will be in the opposite sign. So as we were talking about how this is going to be the third eclipse in Pisces in, about a year. Last March, on March 8th, we had a Pisces solar eclipse. We had a lunar eclipse last September on the 16th in Pisces, and now here's the last one. This is the last one. Moving into this kind of looking ahead, we'll fast forward to August, and we're going to have two more eclipses, but what's going to happen is it's going to move out of, you're going to not see this, the Virgo Pisces alignment. It's shifting into Leo and Aquarius, so everything's starting to shift a little bit. So you're going to notice over these next year, the eclipses are in Leo and Aquarius, which are, of course, opposing signs in the zodiac as well. But we've had a very strong alignment over this past year of the Virgo Pisces eclipses, which, again, is going to pretty much give you two pairs twice a year. So that's really how they work, is it's opposing signs, and you'll notice that. So Virgo has had the same thing. Virgo's done. We were moving on to Leo. We're moving back to Leo because the moon kind of does that. It's an odd thing. They work backwards. You'll notice that too, that the eclipses will start to work backwards in the signs. You know, like 2 years back, we had pairing in Aries and Libra. And then over the last year, we had pairing in Virgo and Pisces. And if you understand the order there, you're actually working backwards in the zodiac. And interesting at this point as well, in, you know, as we've talked about this, what is obviously transforming for humanity. Because when you look at Aries and you look at Libra, which was a couple of years back, that's the beginning of the zodiac again. You're looking at that beginning point, and then we've moved back, and now we're you know, into Pisces, which is the end of the zodiac. So it's a very pivotal point in the zodiac where these eclipses have been happening as well, which is about us experiencing a whole new cycle of things. You know, it's like we are closing a lot of doors so that new ones can be, you know, opened. And you touched upon a very strong word that I didn't get to about describing Pisces energy is the empathy. And the sympathy. Pisces is such a strong sign for that as well. So again, with this last one happening now, this will be the last eclipse we'll have in Pisces today for quite a while. It's going to take a long time for us to get another one because we've got to go through all the other signs over the next
years. Yes, yes. And I think we're seeing that play out, you know, the empathy out in the world against against the contrast of what isn't empathy, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. So, but yes, so I find these eclipses so powerful for me, and they are very transformative. And, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to do this is because it really helps your soul to evolve through these powerful eclipses. And so that's when I do notice that, you know, people are either, there's some type of rebirth that's happening for them, or there's a new beginning, if you know, whether they're leaving a job, moving to a different location. So it's very, very transformative also on a deeper level, because those are the challenges that our soul is also meeting in order for us to really mature spiritually.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, like you just described, you know, there's obviously the collective effect and, you know, unless you really live under a rock, I say, you know, you're feeling it somehow, some way in your life. And this is where the richness of astrology comes into play, is that, you know, when we sit down with a natal birth chart, which of course is comprised from knowing your time of birth and your full birthday, and we get your personal map out, and we want to see where is this eclipse happening in your chart, and what is it talking to that's already established in your life, and this is why you are seeing and again, it's going to be how it applies to you. It could be that major job change. It could be a major move in your life where you could move to another country or move across this one, whatever the case may be. Or are you seeing a major relationship, you know, start and emerge in your life? You know, so, you know, on a simpler example of that, one of the things I write every month is, twice a month, is it's a little blog piece called Lunaroscopes, and it picks up, it's a lunar horoscope that is based on what is happening with each new and full moon. So the of course, and if there's eclipses tied in twice a year, we put all that into the picture. So for example, with the Pisces eclipses, Virgos, which is of course the opposite sign of the Pisces, the Virgo, any Virgo out there have been noticing over this past year that there is a significant shift in your area of relationships. Personal partnerships. It could be business. It can be romance. It can be, but it's really legal agreements on any kind, is that is what is being, you know, we like to say, lit up in your life. So there's either a very significant relationship leaving or a very significant relationship beginning, or a little combination of both, depending on, you know, what's really happening in your life. So Virgo will notice that. As well as if you have a Virgo ascendant in your chart. Let's say you have, it doesn't matter what sign you are, if you have a Virgo ascendant, meaning that's your rising, what we call your rising sign in astrology, that's why we want to know the time you're born, it sets up the whole map for you. A Virgo ascendant is going to notice that you've got the same pattern happening. There's something about relationships in your life, because that's where these eclipses have been popping off. For the past year. So you've got something leaving and something coming, because you've had, well, you've got the two significant solar eclipses, one a year ago and the one today, and you had the energy leaving from the lunar eclipse in September on the 16th. And that's just one example. And I mean, I could, you know, touch upon every zodiac sign and tell you, okay, well, this is what, you know, you've got the For example, a Gemini is going to notice that you're having career things coming and going. That would be an example, you know, just as if you are the Gemini. And if you're a Pisces, you're definitely feeling some things with these eclipses because your entire approaches to life are changing. You're noticing, like, everything is like, wow, I'm not the same person I used to appear like to the world. And looking at, I'll just touch on the communication signs. And so the last communication sign is Sagittarius. You're noticing significant changes in your home and family life. Big things are going on, moving, coming and going. So there's release, again, from the lunar eclipse that happened back in September, but now you're in another trigger of there's something very significantly beginning in this area of your life. So, and then all the other signs have it happen in different areas, you know, depending on what sign you are. So there's the individual picture, of course, and then you've got this huge collective responsibility. is why you're watching the world. You don't have to be living in America right now to say that things are really significantly shifting in this world. There's a lot of stuff going on, you know.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, that's interesting you say that also is because, you know, we are in between that space of the next, you know, the solar eclipse. But we also in the a couple weeks ago, we were in the full moon in Leo, but we were also opposite Aquarius. So there was something, really unique happening, meaning that Leo is all about individuality and creativity, where Aquarius is also the collective and future.
Yes, very much so. Yes.
Yes. So I found that to be interesting dynamic is, yes, we're thinking about ourselves and being more bold in how we create, but we're also thinking about the world at large.
Yes, and it's interesting, I just love having this conversation with you because you're just leading it right into the next idea, or you're picking up on my thoughts. Because what's going to happen in August is that the next pairing of these eclipses are in Aquarius. We're going to move into Aquarius and Leo focus, which is going to touch, that's the theme of what's going to happen next, is we've got, what are we doing creating ourselves through ourselves individually and really shining in our own light at the same time, but what does that mean for the bigger picture and our part in the bigger picture, you know, and allowing, you know, Aquarius is, you know, a sign that I always refer to them as the sign that they're a horse, that expression we say, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. Mm-hmm. And that really, you know, wraps up in Aquarius energy very nicely, because Aquarius has to do things themselves. It's like they're so about the humanitarian picture, but they will, when they need to make change, it's like out of their own necessity. You can't tell the Aquarius it needs to change. It has to come from itself that it needs to change. And that's where it gets very stubborn.
Okay.
Because it gets a bad rep for that. Aquariuses are stubborn people. But all the fixed signs are, when we're going to take, the shift out of these eclipses have been happening in mutable signs, which is the communication signs, which is the signs that allow change to happen and movement and versatility, and it gets the energy stirred up quite a bit. But now what we're doing is we're going to shift this attention of these eclipses after we finish this one in Pisces. We're moving into fixed energy in the zodiac, which both Leo and Aquarius are opposing signs in the fixed organizers of the zodiac. So we're going to notice there's something that needs to get into a structure, because we're making a new structure. We've got all this, you know, we've moved all the change out. We've moved everything and kind of changed what we've needed to. But now we're going to make a new structure. And it is between that understanding of the self and how we can shine in our individual light and be happy about that. And I also want to touch upon from this, because we had the lunar eclipse in Leo back in the 10th of February. Leo energy is about heart.
Mm-hmm.
And Leo rules the heart and the body as well. And also your spine, it's your backbone, you know, it's like, how do you, like, get yourself behind something and stand for it? But a Leo won't do anything without their heart into it. They will be miserable if their heart is not into something.
Right.
So our heart space is going to start to be very, there's a huge
activated,
very activated. Yes.
Yeah, the reason I say that is because I've had a few people say and come to me that their heart has been, sometimes it's painful, like you can feel the heart chakra expanding, but the physical part of it can be frightening sometimes because we really don't understand what's happening.
No.
And so that's
and
also...
And it's
going
to get more intense, I'll tell you.
Yes.
With what I'm
yes.
coming up in the summer, it's going to get way more intense.
Yes.
So,
and
I have to laugh in a way, but it is going to really amp up if people, because there's so much pain in the world. That's really what's been, you know, I mean, there's so much pain going on in this world, and even if you bring it just into the American space alone, it's obvious what's going on is that there's a lot of pain that needs to be healed. There's a lot of, and again, going back to Pisces, that is, there's been a lot of denial going on about things, and we need to face it. It needs to be faced, like, kind of, here it is, and it is painful. It's obvious there's so much pain going on, but that's a powerful thing when we stop denying that it exists.
Right, it's cathartic, so it can be released in order to heal it,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and to transmute the energies.
Absolutely, and you know, I guess this might be a good time to talk about some numbers. What's interesting from the eclipse back in this 2 weeks ago, we were at 22 degrees Leo.
Yes, yes.
Which, of course, as you know, master number. And of course, the lunar eclipse is letting go and releasing. So, and it's the first eclipse in Leo, because we haven't seen an eclipse in Leo yet. So that was the first one. We're going to see a solar eclipse in Leo in the summer, and that's known. You'll start hearing about this a little bit more, or you can Google it right now on the internet. It's the Great American Eclipse, and it's because we're going to be able to see it here in the summer.
Yes. Yes, I've seen that.
It's going to be, it's going to be able to be seen from the Northern Hemisphere. It's 2:30 in the afternoon on August 21st, Eastern Daylight Time, and then it'll be 11:30 on the West Coast. So you're going to be able to see this, and I think even Hawaii you'll see it around sunlight. I don't know if Hawaii is going to be able to see it, but I know here we are, unless you have we have a very cloudy day somewhere, we're going to be able to see this. Now, that eclipse is going to be 28 degrees Leo, so the number is going to shift a little bit for the solar part. But right now what we're doing is healing our hearts through August in a really interesting way. We're really allowing energy to get out of our heart space that we don't need anymore, so that we can move forward with these, you know, with this great new potency of beginnings that will come out of that eclipse in August. So, but at the going back to the 22nd degree, it's master numbers are not, they're a great responsibility.
Yes,
so we have
a great
responsibility at our fingertips for these next 6 months. And that's the other thing about, like, you know, going back to understanding what an eclipse is when it's a new moon or a full moon, is that, you know, every month we've got a new moon and a full moon. So it's like this ebb and flow around the zodiac wheel. So it's like one area gets the new beginning, the opposite area gets the reflection, and it just keeps seesawing around the wheel all year long. When you get the eclipses, and we have what we know is the waxing of the moon, so that's after the new moon, it gathers back up in the light for the full. The waning is when it's letting go. And you know, the reflective light goes away again. And what we're supposed to be doing when it's waxing and waning is, you know, we typically want to initiate. When it's waxing, we want to reflect when it's waning. But the eclipses give, and not every eclipse is what they, some of them are what they call partial eclipses, some of them are total eclipses. The one in the summertime is going to be, this solar eclipse on today is not, some people said it's an annular eclipse, but it's not like a, it's potent.
Yes, I can still feel it.
The one in the summer has got more punch, if there's such a thing to say. But the eclipses will allow that regular waning or waxing of the moon to extend to 6 months up to a year's time. So especially going back to understanding your natal chart, you know, where is that effective energy kind of channeling from that area of the life? So you're going to notice that. And again, with natal charts, you want to also know, so going back to these degree points, is any of these eclipses having a conversation with natal planets in your chart that might be positioned at those points in different signs, which is going to make this obvious mathematical aspect going on. So there can also be connectivity to other areas of your life that, okay, this eclipse is happening here, but it's also going to affect this because there's this direct mathematical relationship going on. And that's how we that's the language of astrology, you know, in a very brief sentence, is that's what we're looking at. We're looking at these mathematical relationships. But the 22 overall is, again, it's a great responsibility.
Yes.
22, it's a great responsibility, and when you look at 22, it reduces back down to a 4, because 2 and 2 together make 4, and that's a singular energy behind it. So if there's a reinvention going on, there is it represents, in Chaldean numerology, it represents submission and caution, which is where it gets a little tricky. Because you can't just like, you're looking, when you look at master numbers, there's two digits that are the same, hanging out in the same place. So that means you've got to honor the individuality. It's kind of like twins, you know, it's like they're of the same, but they're still themselves, right? And they either get along really well or not. Or there's a fight, or there's like a resistance going on. So what needs to happen is that those two energies need to learn how to stand side by side and cooperate effectively in order to allow the structure to fall into place. And that's really what, and if you look at it in an 11, you're going to notice that it's the same concept. It's a little different understanding because the 11 is not the 22. But it's more of a much more emotionally charged number. But when you're looking at the 22 or a 33 or whatever you're looking at, you've got two things of the same standing side by side wanting to be seen in the same light. So it's, like again, there's a trickiness with these master numbers, but what they do is they do create really powerful things.
Yes, because I have a couple of those master numbers, and they're very intense as well. It's like it's very ambitious.
Especially the 22. The 22.
Yes, yes.
Incredibly ambitious because it has this necessity to create this, and I want to say like the humanitarian structure. So you got the two twos. So the twos are about the underlying emotion going on to make that happen. So at 22, even if you're born to the 22nd of the month, you can be a very emotional person on the inside, but you'll never let people see it on the outside. It can be very troubled if you don't work with the emotions properly. And of course, we're seeing this in humanity, I think, at this time. There's all of this emotion going on, and everybody is troubled by how are they dealing with it. Like, you notice people don't want to cooperate with each other like we have in the past because the structure needs to go away. And that's a lot about what this master number eclipse is about, is letting go of the old structure so that when we move forward in August, with the next eclipse in Leo, we're making a new beginning happening. So again, it's all back to this concept of there's so much healing to be done, you know, on an, you know, we need to heal individually, but we need to heal on a humanitarian level simultaneously.
Yes.
And heal,
yes.
And heal that heart space as well, and really get into the heart space of what needs to be healed. Again,
yes.
painful processes.
And I think also Pisces also reveals the shadow underbelly, because it's part of the collective unconsciousness. It's kind of like that ocean where it holds that collective unconsciousness, that shadow. And so all of that is being riled up. And I think that's also part of the charge that we're feeling, is because the intensity also comes from a place that we've never addressed. So it's kind of like opening a door that has housed all this shadow for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
you know, I mean, with Pisces as well, this one, the solar eclipse, is what's interesting, and I'll go back just to, because the numbers are so interesting. The Pisces solar eclipse, you know, almost a year ago on March 8th was at 18 degrees Pisces. Now, 18 is the number that represents spiritual material conflict.
Interesting.
So it's the understanding of you cannot get so caught up in the materialism of life. You've got to get into the spirituality, which is what started a year ago. So that process is like, it's over, because now we're at the next, you know, we've come a year. So that the effect of that eclipse is not gone, but it's completed. The cycle has completed itself. This eclipse in Pisces now is at 8 degrees. The moon has moved, of course, and again, you're noticing there's this backwards pattern, because the moon moves backwards. It moves backwards in the zodiac, as far as like every month when you see the eclipses, when you see the new and the full moon, the degree points move backwards in the next sign. So it's kind of a, I don't want to overwhelm people with mathematics, but you technically are counting backwards in the degrees, because the moon is the 28 and a quarter day thing. So and it also moves backwards in the calendar. Because like a month ago on January 27th, we had a new moon in Aquarius, and now it's February 26th. So you see how everything moves backwards with it when it's lunar. It's just the way it is. It makes people's heads spin, and it makes my own head spin, but can everybody's head spinning that way? But so now we're looking at, we have an 8-degree Pisces new moon solar eclipse, and the 8 is a number of responsibility. It's also a I want to say, it's just old soul energy. There's no
cause and effect.
It's mystery. Yeah, it's just the singular energy of the number. There's no, like, if it was a 17 degree, whatever, you'd still have an 8, but it would be a different understanding of what the 8 energy is about.
Mm-hmm.
It's just pure 8. The 8 is the achiever. So the 8 is where we've got this request to slow down and really be responsible to these new beginnings, and learn from our experiences, and get into this. Really, what this eclipse wants from all of us is to get stability into our life, because the 8 is a number that really makes things stable through the work that you're going to do. And equally, again, there's a patience. There's a level of patience that's involved. 8 is always about having patience. I always utilize the analogy with 8 energy is, think of yourself in that fable of the tortoise and the hare. You want to be the tortoise. You don't want to be the hare, because the hurrier you go, the hinder you're going to get.
That's life in general. It's not a marathon. Or it's a marathon, not a race. Yeah.
But in today's world, I think that is so. I find myself. I talk about that a lot, because we are so caught up in that now. You know, overall, humanity is tricked now into thinking busier is better, faster is better, everything is faster and it's better. Not really. So we've created our own conundrum. No, we need to slow down. And this particular eclipse today on the 26th is asking us to slow down. And what's also interesting in aspects, and just tying in a little bit of that, this eclipse is 2 degrees away from Neptune, as Neptune is also currently in Pisces. So we have the eclipse is happening at 8, the new moon eclipse, solar eclipse is 8 degrees of Pisces. Neptune is in current transit at 11 degrees of Pisces. So 8 and 11 are only 3 degrees away from each other. So you're getting what we say, it's not an exact conjunction, which means it's at the same point. But the sun and the moon are in exact conjunction. That's exactly what it is. That's what a new moon is. It's a conjunction every month of the sun and the moon are lined up together, the same place. Opposition is what goes on a full moon, is when they're exactly opposed. But with a conjunction with moon and sun to Neptune, as we are experiencing, it's also saying, especially in the sign of Pisces, really, really, really take a silent listen. Because Neptune is... And you referred back to the ocean before, and that is definitely the energy of Pisces. I always say it's a mutable water sign. So you have mutability like the ocean. It's as vast. There's no boundaries there. It's just as vast as what that ocean can be. And that can be scary because that's what the unknown is, right? It's like as deep as where the ocean can go. Oh, my goodness. Where could you go? I mean, you could go anywhere. You could drown
yes.
if you're not careful.
And
you could drown
yes.
if you're not careful.
Yes.
Right?
So, yes, it's that expanded feeling
yes.
that water gives you. And we've never really, the collective consciousness has never really been at that place because
no.
we have been such in, it's what's called poverty consciousness, meaning the feeling of, you know, being rigidity, and also in a box or in a particular thought mode. So we are always, we have an experience of a certain particular limit. And so when we're in that water, we feel the fluidity of it, but we also feel the expansion of it, and there's the fear of the unknown that we haven't really been there before,
mm-hmm.
consciously.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's like, and that's part of, now that this will be the last eclipse in Pisces for quite some time, there's such a, you know, I just kind of tying it all in is, you've got the degree point of the 8, which is like slow down. And then you've got this conjunction to Neptune, which is about really being able to stop and listen. When you're looking at Neptune, just as the planet overall, it rules Pisces to begin with. So
yes,
Neptune
yes.
is at home right now in Pisces for several years. And because Neptune is so far out there in the orbit as far as how it goes, it takes years to get through one sign. It's not quick, like, you know, the moon is going through the zodiac once a month anyway. And then, you know, all the other planets have their varying, you know, time frames that it's their cycles take to get through the whole wheel itself. But Neptune in its own native sign is also part of where, you know, why humanity right now is taking, it's going to take several years for this healing process to happen anyway, you know, because it'll be very interesting to see what will happen, you know, in about seven more years is when Neptune is going to go into Aries, and that's going to be really interesting. To see, you know, because we haven't seen that in hundreds of years. But there is this process still in play, but it takes us being silent in order to get what we need to do in order to evolve overall. It is stopping. It is listening. And obviously, you know, we're both in doing the work that we do in our ways that we do it, but there has been such a calling of humanity that, you know, people meditate more now. The businesses now, if you look at the trends and what's happening, you know, businesses are putting meditation in their workplaces, you know, because people need it. You know, there's this great movement happening, which I love seeing. I love seeing that. There's so much more to do. There's so much more work to do. But it's happening that people want the help, you know, or there's a recognition that there's something broken that needs to be fixed. And there is a recognition that we need to stop. And we need to slow down and take this time for ourselves to listen because, America has a lot of – every country in this world has something it needs to fix, obviously. But, you know, we are in America, and this is where we are. There's a lot in this country that is, you know, beyond politics that needs to be addressed and – changed, and it needs to be healed. You know, we're young. We're like teenagers. You know, we need to really look at things, or not think that we know everything. I guess that's how I also see it, is that people think they know everything, and that's not a It's not a healthy thing. It's to think you know everything. You can't. Mm-hmm. You have to always be open to this learning process. And, you know, the world overall needs to understand that on a much greater level. But America needs to understand that they don't know everything. We don't. We have to be humble. We have to almost be, I want to say, a kneeling submissive student a little more than we have been. Is that what happens?
Yes, yes. I think humility is a very important word.
And Pisces will do that.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
You know, going back to like that, being the grandparent of the zodiac, as I sort of describe a Pisces energy, that's what we kind of need to get more, mm-hmm. you know, is, you know, be, even if you're not at that age in your life where, of course, you've attained that wisdom, but being humble enough along the journey as you're getting there is what is going to serve you far greater than, you know, letting the ego get, you know, into the way. And it's interesting as well because, you know, having the Leo is very associated with the ego. Because, you know, you're looking at yourself, you're on stage, so boop, 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 look at me, you know. The Leos love to be admired. They like to be adorned, so to speak. So this, again, the shifting of the eclipse energy moving into Leo Aquarius pairing from the Virgo Pisces we've been seeing, the examination of the ego is here, you know. That's going to happen. And what do you do to, you know, again, get into the heart space to let the humanitarian side of things get more locked into place in this new structure that we are, you know, or the new paradigm that we're moving into. I know that everybody likes to say that word in describing, you know, what's happening.
Yes.
You know,
I think the paradigm shifts. Yeah. I think the paradigm is shifting.
The paradigm
shifts. Yes. It's like it's a system that we've all been, you know, under. It's this mm-hmm. hypnotic thing that really creates a particular vibration, a way of thinking. And so once you shift that, everything else shifts. And
yes.
I think because it's so huge, that's why we call it this paradigm. That's what's really needed right now. And first, we have to heal the dysfunction.
Yes. And, you're yeah. never, you, it's like you can't... You can't download new files when you're all clogged up with, you know, you've got to clear the clutter out. It's like taking the trash out of your house. It's the same, you know, that's an easy also comparison of what eclipses are like. You've got to take the lunar eclipses are like taking out the trash so that you can input new, you can bring new stuff into the house, you know.
Yes, I would very much say so. And what's interesting also is, you know, with everything happening out in the world and the divisiveness and the contrast, you know, it really forces you, if you will say yes to it, is to really talk to each other. And because there's such a charge, sometimes it's really difficult to do that because my way is the right way or this is how I feel. But I think people are just hurt and people are in pain. And so when people are in that place, they put up a wall and you can't get through that. So it's allowing yourself to be vulnerable. So that's also the Pisces energy, is just putting down the walls. Putting down the walls and allowing, you know, someone else to come into your space and have a conversation about it. And I think that's what's really needed at a larger scale, is having that conversation where people really feel that they're heard. And what's really interesting is, you know, I was watching some of the news. I don't tend to watch the main news, but they were talking about...
Right there with you on
Yes. So they were showing how in America, all over the United States, they're having these town meetings. And in most cases, it's a lot of the Republicans talking to their, you know, whether it's a senator of that state or whatever it is, and they are pissed. They are pissed off. And they are rallying, and they are, you know, booing, applauding, whatever it is. And in some cases, the senators won't show up to the town meetings. Or they'll say, I'll only show up if you don't say anything, meaning if you don't applaud, if you don't boo, if you don't do anything. I mean, they are getting their butts kicked. And it really made me proud. Like, yes, people have to rise up. If they're not happy with something, say it. And so I see all these, you know, members of Congress or Senate or, you know, your local governor, whatever, they're all, you know, being taken to the task of what are you going to do, and you have to face it. And some of them aren't even showing up to where they're supposed to show up, and they're sending their assistants to these town hall meetings. Mm-hmm. And so it's about being heard. People want to be heard. They're hurt. And if we don't do that because we're in fear, then it's never going to happen. We're never going to have that conversation, a chance to really move through the healing and the dysfunction. And so I think that is really interesting of how it's playing out. And hopefully, I mean, I know it's just the beginning, but I found that very interesting that the people are literally rising up in their own towns, and that's what's really needed right now. And it's interesting, I had this dream a few years ago where I saw from across the, you know, let's say a desert, that there was this volcano, or not a volcano, but a vortex that was speeding up. And as it became closer to us, it was in the shape of a woman. And, you know, what I got from that was the Divine Feminine was really rallying up, meaning it wanted to be heard. And I think it's doing it through the people, whether you're a man or female, whatever it is. It just means that we really need to connect more with our compassion, more
exactly
being heard. Yes.
I wanted the word that came while you were just saying that was there's a nurturing that needs to happen. You know, there has been such a lack of nurturing that, you know, it's like a child who has not been, you know, loved.
yes.
And this is why loved properly, yes, because believe me, you can, boy, there's a lot of people who love in the wrong way. There's a right or a wrong way to love, but they're doing something, they say it's loving, but it's causing hurt to the person, so that's not love. you know, it's like more like a selfish love, I guess, you know. It's like, I, like an example, parents who live vicariously through their children, they want their children to do all these things, but that has nothing to do with what the child really needs, or it's not respecting the individuality of the child. I think a lot of that has, you know, gone on a very collective level. It's like, there's all this energy that's been, well, we want it to be this way, but it hasn't honored what needed to happen in the first place, you know, in a proper fashion. So here we are, you know. But yeah, people are, it's interesting too, like I said, the shift of how these eclipses are now happening. There is this light that is going to be shed on the individuality that needs to start to return, and honoring the individuality, but looking at it with the humanitarian whole, and again, also I want to say not judging, you know, that's another thing that has gone on for so long, is this judgment. And Aquarius, if you really understand Aquarius, and Aquarius can flip in the, you know, there's, as we know, law of attraction, there's a positive and a negative side to everything. Aquarius in its most positive light is always about no judgment. They think everyone's like brothers and sisters, like everybody's this, you know, it's the whole humanitarian understanding. Aquarius energy, like I say, it's a lot of like, sometimes it's like a little talk to the hand, because that's why an Aquarius appears very detached at times, very friendly person, but it doesn't want to get too close, because it has to sort of protect that individuality that way. But it's like, hey, man, you do what you want to do. You're great. You know, the rich is great. The guy who's homeless is great, too. Like, there's no judgment there. Everybody's just human. And that is what's happening, coming, that's what's coming up, is the next piece of, you know, again, in the summertime, with this, the next pairing of eclipses in the summertime is going to start to get into that theme much more stronger than, you know, what we know it's coming, and there's that, the next chapter of, you know, what really goes on over the next year with these eclipses is really going to be, you know, it's going to be quite something. And it's all in perfect, you know, I always say astrology is, and numerology is, everything is, timing is everything, you know. So this is why we're seeing these patterns, you know, and why are we here in this situation right now? Well, this is why, you know. Emotionally, this is where we're at, and I don't think we've even said that this whole conversation, but the moon in astrology is about emotions. That's what it represents. It represents what we feel, what we, you know, what's channeling in our emotional bank account in our space. Your moon sign in your chart is what that, it's how you're going to conduct that in your life. So eclipses amplify the emotional space, you know, tenfold. So here, that's where you're seeing, again, these patterns. But the moon is about feeling. That's it, you know. It is, and it's also the planet that nurtures us. That's what the moon does. It's a nurturing energy. At least that's what it wants to be.
Yeah, so that would be like, it really forces us, or it instigates for us to really emote things as well. And I feel that emoting things is very healthy.
Emotion, yes, of course, you know. But and as you know, Imelda, like, you have people in life who don't do anything emotionally. You know, they're very good at not getting emotional about anything. You know, they've got it all in check. Sometimes that can be good or bad. Like, I always say to people, you don't want to solve problems with emotion. or the wrong kind of emotion. You can't make emotional decisions, right? We always are told don't make emotional decisions, because you tend to make, because the moon is so fluctuating that way that when you make a decision emotionally, it tends to be, you got to go back and fix it, right? You got to go, oh, that wasn't what I really want to do. Now that I'm thinking with a clear head, as we would say, you know. So eclipse energy also, you know, that's why we have to be very quiet and silent and really, you know, even whether it's in Pisces or whatever sign any of these eclipses are happening in, we always want to kind of practice that habit of sitting quietly to understand what we're feeling, so that we're not going the reactive way with it. We want to be responsive with our emotions always. We don't want to be reactive with our emotions.
And responsible.
Yeah, be responsible, right? That's the whole, you know, thing in life. You know, when anybody's arguing, or when we watch people argue in life, you know, it's like, what? You know, and it's a lot to take in. But decisions, important decisions that an eclipse would ask for, or even the simplicity of a new or a full moon any month, we don't want to be making decisions under the heat of the emotion. We want to make it under the calm and the clarity of the emotion. There's a huge difference in the outcome you're going to get from that. You know, your ship is going to turn a slight different, and you're going to wind up in a very different direction depending on which path you decide to choose. So.
Yes, that's why I find it's very important to write things down. It is part of your emoting.
Yes.
I mean, you can't always...
It grounds the energy.
Yes, but you can't always grab someone and emote to them. Meaning, you know, it helps to have friends and partners that you can talk to, but sometimes we don't have that. But I think even more importantly is just to do your own work and just see, you know, as the words drop onto the paper, there's something that is also being healed at the same time. And
mm-hmm.
so I think that it's very important to really understand what you're up to, meaning, you know, your own body has its own wisdom and it has its own mechanism of dealing with things. And so when we give it that space to say, it's like we're parenting ourselves, right? And so it's basically, what is it, right? And so we write it down, and there's that feeling of relief. And so then we can start to have the clarity of things starting to take shape through our words and through how we feel about that. And so then things start to kind of create
mm-hmm.
their own shape or path or form, or maybe a vision is coming through for the next step.
Yeah, and that's a great a point to bring up as well, because one of the things I encourage people to do is write down in a new or full moon, you know, take the time to sit in that quiet space and you know, knowing what areas of the life it's happening from, you know, what would you like to see happen moving forward, or what would you like to see, you know, get cleared up? And you know, a lot of times, I think humans are guilty as charged. I think some people have more tendency to allow their thoughts to override all the time, and so if they don't write things down, it's just swirling, you know, up there in the brain cells, and it's probably why they may not even be sleeping at night. But getting things out of your head and grounded on paper is an amazing exercise and what I also like about it is if you keep everything and, you know, look back on it, especially when you're most favored to be reflective, it's fascinating. It also shows you progress and what has happened and maybe what once you've grounded intentions or, you know, whatever the case may be, or things you needed to release and heal, and then you can go back and go, wow, oh my God, look at how that cleared up. And I got that out of my space, and it gives you some, you know, touchstones of affirmation that this works, you know. I've made progress, because we do want to know we've made progress in some way, shape, or form, whether we're making progress through healing or making progress through what we are coining as success in our life. Success comes in, you know, as we know it, comes in many, many forms, and no one, there is no direct one definition of what is success. It's, that is also something that gets crafted by an individual.
Yes, yes. So I also find that, you know, since these eclipses are so transformational, I mean, obviously they last well long before, you know, the few weeks are over. The post window. So they last for 6 months, even, you know, a couple years, depending on how big that change is. So, and you can really feel your life actually taking a turn in a specific direction. And, you know, some of the advice I give is, you know, wherever your life is taking you, move with it and don't be in resistance to it. Because usually that's when things blow up in our face. And so we don't always, and sometimes it'll take us to places that we might not have planned, meaning we have a certain way of how we want our life to look and how we're going to get there. And so I always say magic doesn't happen on the well-paved road. Magic happens in the, you know, in the wild wonderment of the wilderness. And that doesn't always look like in a controlled environment. So magic doesn't happen in a controlled environment.
And it's allowing yourself to step into the unknown. Because, I think you've said it to me, and I've said it to the people as well, but nothing happens in your comfort zone anyway.
So you're going to feel uncomfortable, everyone. You're going to feel uncomfortable.
You're
going to
feel uncomfortable, so...
And it's okay,
I kind of use the, like, you know, when you have a pair of shoes on and they're not meant to get wet, it's like that kind of feeling, like you're like, oh, God, my God, it is uncomfortable, but if you sort of just allow that uncomfortableness to, it's okay. Like, you have to tell yourself the whole time, this is okay. It's really simple, but it's very complicated, but it's very simple. And in the same right, it's not as complicated as we all make it out to be if we stop resisting. Because the other thing I always say is perfection is a journey, not a destination. And, you know, I think a lot of people as well get caught up in what they think is perfection or their expectation of perfection about their life. And it's a journey. It's like anything else. So there is no such thing as perfection. And perfection is cleaning the house and then somebody comes in and muddies it up with their shoes, you know.
Yeah.
It's perfect for a moment. That's it. The moment is now. So the now is always changing. It's always in a state of change. So if we dig into that a little more, we don't have to be so alarmed by that, you know, getting our feet wet when maybe they're supposed to be dry.
I mean, we've given, you know, there was so much to this conversation. It was really beautiful. And
we could talk for another hour.
I know. And we've done it, people. We've done it. We've done epic conversations. And we'll continue that in the future. So, you know, as we wrap this up, you know, what is that number one thing that you could really share with people as far as in how to really navigate you know, these tremendous times, especially with the solar or lunar eclipse, that tend to put on the acceleration button and, you know, and do that that ride, that thrill ride. What is, you know, some of your wisdom for that?
Allow your feelings to become your ally, not your enemy. When we are aligned with our feelings in that space, that is when we can create what we want. But if we're feeling our own, like we are our own worst enemy, we can't create in that space. That's impossible. And that's really going into a whole, you know, a whole, we could go down the trail of law of attraction, but we're trying to wrap this up. So, if we understand we have to be like friends with our feelings, and they have to be our ally, that is how we're going, A, to heal, and we can create. That's how we're going to be able to take right the right action, not the wrong action in our life.
Yes. I think that's a perfect message, especially for this particular solar eclipse in Pisces that we're going into.
Yes,
definitely, everyone, you know, really feel your feelings, and you're going to be okay, because we tend to think that something is going to come up that's going to literally kill us. So if your feelings are there for you to actually connect with, to empower you. So once you can get through all the other stuff, that's where really you reclaim your power. So before we go, Sharita, is there anything as far as in, do you have any upcoming classes, or would you just like people to go to your SharitaStar.com for any, you know, updated or future classes or events?
Well, I always say I have a lovely complimentary forecasting all month long, so you can access that on any page of my website. You'll see it at the top right-hand corners of SharitaStar.com. You go to Timing is Everything, and I have a very nice email. You join the tribe, as I say, the Star Secrets tribe, and aside from the, you know, bi-monthly Lunariscopes, I have a weekly Empowerscopes podcast, which is a little that's heard on Empower Radio every week. And it's this little weekly empowerment, little simple stuff. It's not going to solve every problem you have in your life, but give you a little focus. It'll give you a little bit of a personal focus for the week. And those are just things that I do on a regular basis. I do have local classes that I do, and I do my Mastering Mercury Retrograde program, which is it's a whole other topic for another day, what Mercury retrograde does. So
those are
if you're on the mailing list, you're going to be informed of everything that's ever coming up, whether you're local to where I am up in the New York Northeast area, or if I'm traveling anywhere, which I do tend to do from time to time.
Yes, and definitely, I mean, not only do I see us doing more of these, you know, amazing, juicy conversations, but also working maybe with retrograde coming up or in the future, or more of these cosmic kind of movements and how they really affect us, and to really evolve through them. So, so I want to thank you for your brilliance and for this conversation. And everyone, until next time, sending you much love and light. Talk to you later, everyone. Bye-bye.